Well, see, last week I talked about, have you been born again? And in no shape, fashion, or form did I try to trick you. First service, we had 6 people that came forward to be born again, to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's a yay, God. See, God doesn't trick us when he says that salvation is free. It's a promise. That's a truth, that it's free. It's a gift from God. So those of you that came forward, stand on that truth. Stand on the truth that you've been born again, that you're a new creation in Christ. So last week, I kind of talked to the non-believers, to those that, I'll say non-believers, to those maybe that have been to church their whole life, but to the Nicodemus of the modern world, let me put it that way, is who I talked to last week. And a lot of you responded. So this week, I want to talk to believers. I want to talk to people who are born again. Because see, that's who Paul talked to in the segment I'm going to talk about today. He talked to those of us that are born again. Because when we get born again, sometimes we think that's it. I'm done. It's over. I'm fixed. I'm cured. Everything's great. It's peaches and cream from here on out. And that's not the truth. I battle every day with my thoughts. Every day I battle with stinking thinking is the phrase I use on Friday nights. Some of you might not have quite as smelly as mine, but we all have a form of stinking thinking. We all have a form of negative thoughts and things that come against the strongholds, the Bible says, imaginations that come against the knowledge of God. Things that necessarily can't, they don't try to steal us from the hands of the Father, because John 10 tells us that we can't be snatched out of the Father's hand, but it's things that try to keep us from fulfilling our purpose. So as believers, today I want to talk to you about coming against strongholds, coming against imaginations, coming against anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Because if only 6 people came forward last week, that means I got a whole room full of people to talk to today, right? Because you guys are born again. You guys are saved. So that means I got a whole lot more to talk to today. So, Father God, I thank you for your word this morning, for your word that is true, Father God, for your word that is living and powerful. I think that you stand with me, you strengthen me, so that your word will be preached fully through me, Father. I love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to talk about this battle that we're in. Anybody else struggle with your thoughts? Some people got up 2 hands. That's honesty. Yeah, that's CR honesty right there. Celebrate recovery. They'll throw both hands up and stand up and say, that's me, I struggle. See, one thing we have to realize is with God, it's okay to say that we struggle. We need to be honest and admit that we need a Savior. I need someone bigger and badder and better than me, and his name's Jesus. Someone who can step up, because there's so many times that I can't. So I have to recognize that I'm weak, because 2 Corinthians tells us his strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul goes on to say, I'm going to boast in my infirmities. I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. That doesn't mean I go around like a sourpuss with my head hanging down, being defeated all the time. That's not what he's talking about. But I know my weak points so that I know his strength can be made perfect in those areas. I have to recognize weaknesses. One of my biggest weaknesses is my thinking. It's one of my biggest. I struggle the hardest in that area. I'll be driving down the road listening to K-Love, jamming out to some of this. No, you know, that last song, that one, Jesus. That song. And all of a sudden, these images pop into my mind of things I looked at years ago. All of a sudden, these thoughts pop into my mind about so-and-so saying bad things about me. All of a sudden, these strongholds try to exalt above the knowledge of God. And I have to hold those thoughts, grab them, and wring them back in and bring them captive to Christ. And we have to learn to do that. And it's not easy. It's a battle every day. Are you willing to battle, though? Or are you just content with being saved? You just content with being born again? Because I'm not. Because God has a purpose for you. And what the enemy's doing is trying to stop you from accomplishing that purpose. My veins might stick out today because I asked Jesus for some help. Because I've been struggling this week. I've been having a heart. I had a meltdown this week. My wife, I called it a meltdown. She called it being a butthead. I said it was a meltdown. So this week, I've tried to force everything in my life. I tried to force a message. I had 6 different copies of 27 messages. And I tried to force everything this week. See, but with God, I don't need to force things. I need to wait on him. He said, be still and know that I'm God. Jesus said he wouldn't leave us as orphans, but he would give us a helper, the Holy Spirit, who would teach us all things and bring to our remembrance all things he said to us. So this week, I just had to rely on the Holy Spirit today. Because I told Joe when we came in, I said, Joe, my message is kind of like scrambled eggs today. And my pastor, Joe, I love him. He said, I love scrambled eggs. Instead of going, oh, no. God can take scrambled eggs and make a chicken. Because my God's a big God. He can take it and reshape it and form it into life. And that's what he's fixing to do with a word for you guys. He's going to take scrambled eggs and bring it back to life and give you life this morning. Give you something you need to reach for that purpose that only he has for you. Because he has a purpose for you. And it ain't just to come sit here every Sunday. But it's what are you doing out there? What are you doing when you're not in this building? That's where we achieve our greatest purpose, is outside of these four walls. And here we come, we get fed, we get edified, we get built up. Yes, we get corrected, we get rebuked, I hope. We do, because we have a teaching pastor. So sometimes he needs to rebuke us a little bit gently, sometimes slap us a little. Friday, we just slap each other. We come in Friday and we just, quit doing that. On Sundays, pastor's a little more gentle than me. He just kind of corrects us. And not on Fridays. What are you doing? You can't do that. So today I want to talk about the battle. 2 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We are in a battle. And we are not going to use the weapons that we would think that we would use. I'm not going to use my own strength. I'm not going to use my own wisdom. I'm not going to use my own knowledge. But I'm going to use something God has given me. See, because God gives us special weapons that are not according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. That's what I need. I need something mighty in God for helping me to pull down these strongholds. Some of these are rooted so deep in us, we don't even know they're there anymore. Because as children, little seeds got planted, and they grew into this big stinking tree that we're so used to trying to look around on both sides that we forget it's even blocking our view. We don't even realize what's going on because we think it's just who we are and what we do, and that's not true. These lies, these imaginations that the enemy has brought against us, it's exactly what it is. It's an imagination. My imagination is vivid and really, really whack sometimes. It can go this way and it can go that way, and I begin to believe it. You ever begin to believe the lies? The lies that you're not really born again? The lies that you're not worthy? The lies that just because he left, he took every part of who you were with him? That's a lie. Because your identity was not found in him, but found in him. And when we come to a realization that in Christ and Christ alone, we're made complete, we begin to pick up these supernatural weapons. We don't try to fight it with our own accord anymore and our own willpower, but we try to fight it with the strength that Christ gives us. So we're in a battle. The battle's right here. So I'm going to give you a definition. I'm going to be panting here in just a minute, sweating. I'm going to give you one of them little towels like T.D. Jakes does. He'd be dabbing that sweat. That man sweats. He got one button. I watched him the other day. He's got one button right here, and his shirt's open here and here. By the way, I didn't give you guys a button this morning. Did you notice that? I thought I'd just come in like me and let it rip. So, what exactly is a stronghold? Have you heard that word before? This is a yes. This is a no. Have you heard the word stronghold before? A verbal response. That was even better. Yes. Verbal responses are great. Have you heard of a stronghold before? Yes. Okay. So if you've heard of them, you're aware of them. So if you've heard of it, you're aware of the attack that's being formed against you. So I want to give you a definition of a stronghold, okay? Here's the what in today's message. What is a stronghold? It is basically any argument that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Basically anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Think about it. Nah, not there yet. A stronghold is anything that exalts itself in our mind, pretending to be bigger and more powerful than our God. Anything that sets itself up in our mind, pretending to be bigger and more powerful than our God. It's an imagination. It's a lie. It's a fabricated thing. Because who is the father of all lies? Satan. So he comes to convince me of lies. Comes to convince me that See, I know that I'm free because the Word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But the enemy tells me, no, those cravings and those urges mean you're not quite free, Jason. He's trying to exalt himself higher than the Word of God. That's a lie. He says, the Word says, by His stripes you are healed. The symptoms say, oh no, it still hurts. You're not healed. Oh no, do you still feel that? You're not healed. That's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. It's an imagination. It's a stronghold and it's a lie. Because the symptoms tell me against what the truth says. So we have to learn to stand on the truth and not the imaginations and not the strongholds. Stand on the truth. A stronghold is anything that exalts itself in my mind, pretending to be bigger than my God. It steals our focus. I have aches and pains. I'm going to go to the doctor. My wife's going to set it up here real soon for me. I have these fears and these little phobias inside of me, and I'm not going to tell them to you because they're not going to become reality. Ha ha. She's going to set me up a doctor's appointment because I feel like I want to get checked out for certain things. So certain things are trying to exalt themselves in my mind above the truth in my heart. So I'm not going to let them. I'm going to go take care of some certain things. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my church. God has so much more for me to do that I don't want to go home yet. I want to stay here and carry on with the purpose that He has for me. So I'm not going to let them exalt themselves higher than my God in my mind. Anything that consumes much of our emotional and mental energy and strangles our abundant life is a stronghold. Terry Garrison, things strangle your abundant life, brother. That abundant life, I'm not talking about just living, and I love you, Terry, very much. You're a dear, dear brother to me. But I see in people's lives, I'm not going to call you by name over here, Davey. I see things in everybody's life, including my own. And I'm not too proud to say from the stage the strongholds that try to take root in my life. That's one thing about Fridays. Anytime I take a stage, is I'm going to be real and transparent and be me. It's who I'm going to be. Because when I confess them, when I get rid of them, the enemy has no power with them anymore. If I keep them up here, he still controls me. And I don't go around blabbing them to the world. I find one person, Terry, that I can confide in, Pastor, that I can throw these things out, and I find someone that I can talk to that can pray for me and pray with me to remove these strongholds from me. I have to find somebody. But we also have a weapon. So why is it so important that as a believer, we protect our minds? You know, one way we need to protect our minds is stinking social media and TV. It's horrible. I've been fasting from Facebook since I knew I was going to be preaching this. No Facebook. And I got on there the night before last and looked through it. And I'm like, it's the exact same drama that it was before I got off of it. Oh, but you guys don't have no drama in your newsfeed, right? It's because you're the one typing it. Sorry, I had to go there. What about television? So what are you putting into your mind? What is forming your thought processes? So the other day, I flipping through the channels, and I flipped it on FX. That's a channel. We have two versions on cable. So I flipped it on there, and it comes up to this show, and it devastated me. They were doing cocaine. They were naked. They were saying the F word on cable TV. So if I would have continued to watch that show, what would it have done in my mind? It would have planted a stronghold that would have exalted itself against the knowledge of God, saying, Jason, you're holy, be holy, just as your Father is holy, is what it would have done. It's okay to watch it. It's on TV. No, it's not. It's not okay. Why? The world says it's okay, but my God says it's not. I don't want my brain going to those places. Because when my brain does, it affects my mind, and my mind affects my soul. My brain is my central control unit for everything. But inside of there is my mind. My brain controls all this twitching I do when you guys see me. My mind goes much deeper into my soul. And it affects who I am. It affects what I'm doing. It affects the God-given purpose. Because how can I minister to young ladies if I'm watching porn? I can't. Because I don't see them as God's creation. I see them as an object. And I won't look at porn because God's given me about 40 women on Friday night, John 3:17, to minister to. So I'm not going to give in to that stronghold because they're my sisters and I want to see them born again and I want to see them walking with Jesus. So what are you doing? Why do you ever wonder why God doesn't send people to you witness to? Have you got a witness? or you're just not going to hell. Eventually, I'll get to this piece I want to talk about. So here's the why. Why is it so important that as believers, we protect our mind? I'll give you a bunch of verses here. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If your mind stays on Jesus, you stay in perfect peace. That's why I want to protect my mind. Romans 8:6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Who's controlling your mind? See, Jesus didn't just say that he'd give us life, but he said he'd give it to us more abundantly. I want that abundant life. So I have to separate myself from certain things. I have to separate myself from certain people because of their sinful nature. So I've separated from them because a little yeast ruins the whole loaf, the Bible says. I don't need any help. I got enough of my own. Hebrews 8:10 says, but this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. It started in the mind right there, didn't it? First he said, I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. See, with me, I had to learn a bunch of scriptures first, and then I had to let the Holy Spirit transform to my heart, to my innermost being. But I got it in my head before I got it in my heart. How about you? You got a whole lot of scriptures you know, but you're not applying? That's what I'm talking about. And I only know 7 scriptures. But did you know you can build a whole life working with Christ on 7 scriptures? Because first of all, he's going to get you digging deeper. Maybe 8, I don't know. Maybe 6. Starts right here. I know so many people that can quote the Bible from memory, but memorization without application is nothing. That is faith without works. Memorization without application is faith without works, and it's useless. It's dead, except for your salvation. That was last week. Let's go this week. 1 Peter 13:14. I got to quit looking at the clock. Friday nights, I don't worry about the clock. If we just go till 8:30, they're all good with it. 9 o'clock, they're still going, yeah! Sunday morning, we got another group coming in right behind you, so I got to keep looking back there. I'm a clock watcher. It's part of the reason I don't sleep at night, because I watch the clock. Anybody else wake up every 30 minutes and look at the clock, see what time it is? Okay, good. There's a few over here. Can I get with you guys after service to see what we can do about this? 1 Peter. Therefore, with minds that are fully alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, sobriety doesn't just necessarily mean drugs and alcohol. Sobriety means your thought process. Anything that alters my God-given knowledge, exalts itself against the knowledge of God, is intoxicating. Your negativity, your bitterness, your backbiting, that is not being sober, okay? Sobriety doesn't just mean I picked up a bottle of pills or drank or smoked pot. Just because it's legal doesn't mean we in any shape, fashion, or form say you should smoke pot, by the way. No, be sober. Part of my Celebrate Recovery team, they're like, hey, if I get a medical, no! Medical marijuana card and think we can teach Celebrate Recovery. Let me scratch my head a minute. I think I'm confused. If it separates me from God, I don't want it. That is drugs, alcohol, that is thoughts that separate me from God. Sober doesn't mean alcohol and drugs, always. What do you do that intoxicate? Do you look at things that get your brain turning in certain ways that intoxicate you, and then you hide with guilt and shame? That means you weren't sober. Intoxicating things separate us. So the brain is to the body, what the mind is to the soul. The what? What is a stronghold? Why is it so important that we believe, as believers, protect our mind? So how do we protect our mind? I've given you a few examples through TV, through social media of certain things, certain people. But God gives us a way to protect our mind. Okay? God gives us a way. And I actually want to read all of it and then I'll hit my spot. I want to read Ephesians 6, 10 till I stop. That's the thing about a microphone, just 10 till I stop. You good with that? Wow, a little more verbal response. I like that. You guys are learning. Verbal response. God loves it when we give a verbal response to Him, doesn't He? When we talk to God. Doesn't He love that? To talk to Him? A lot of times people say, well, I'm praying about it. Speak it. Get by yourself and just talk to God. Get up in that prayer closet, which could be your car driving to work. Hey, don't mean you got to literally crawl under the stairs in a closet, but you can. I know people that do. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, Paul's talking to believers right here. He's telling them what to do. So I want to talk about the armor, and then we're going to hit one particular piece of it today. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And take the helmet of salvation. See, I've already been born again, but He's telling me now that I have to put on a protection that protects my mind. Some of you are saved, but you've never walked like you've been saved. You never talk like you're saved. You don't walk in salvation. See, I've been set free through salvation, but am I walking in the freeness that comes through salvation? Are we walking in that freedom, or we just got to get out of hell free card? See, we've got to learn to put on the helmet of salvation. We're in a race. Hebrews 12:1 tells us that we're in a race. So think about when athletes prepare for an event. They do all this physical training, right? You know how much of their training is mental? If they don't have it in their mind that they're going to finish this race, when they fall and trip, they get up and they go, oh, I'm done, and turn around and go back. No, they've already mentally prepared. So they get up and they drag their leg and keep on rocking. But so many times in life, we fall down and we turn around and we go back. See, when we put on this helmet of salvation, it protects what goes in our ears. It helps me to focus my eyes because my peripheral vision isn't nearly as wide as it used to be. So it hones in my sight and keeps me focused on the things right in front of me instead of the things to my right and the things to my left that I probably shouldn't be looking at anyway. So it protects my mind. So God gives us a supernatural weapon. He said, take the helmet of salvation. It's something we have to learn to do. It's my effort right there. I'm to take it. I'm to take the helmet of salvation. So when we go to battle, we got to dress to impress, right? You got to. I wore a button for you guys last week. I came to dress to impress. I didn't even ask my daughter this morning what I should wear whatsoever. I said, I'm going with Celebrate Recovery. And then my wife matched me. Aww. Normally, if I come out and she's got the same shirt on, I'll go change. But this morning, I decided after my meltdown last week that I would let her wear the same shirt as me. Because my meltdown was bad because I had a meltdown. That's what I told her. I said, Robin, I'm having a meltdown. I just had to admit what was going on, recognize what was happening so that I could grab those thoughts and pull them back into captivity to Christ. I picked up my helmet of salvation at that moment is what I did. Because we have meltdowns, we have moments, we have days, but when we're with Christ, the one who's in us is greater than the one who's in the world. So at that moment, I realized what was happening and I took my helmet of salvation and I put it on. And the first thing I did was picked up, my wife left because I had a meltdown. So the first thing I did was picked up my phone and called my wife and apologized. Because the helmet of salvation puts me to walk in love. It puts me to walk in peace. It gives me all the attributes of God when I put that helmet of salvation on. Because it's His helmet. So when I put that on, everything changed. I said, oh no, what did I just do? Because see, when I was wrong, I had to promptly admit it. The helmet of salvation, I had to take it that moment. Have you guys had any moments in the last week, just reflect briefly, in the last week where you should have taken up the helmet of salvation and you didn't? Because we're all born again, right? Because last week we had 6 people come up. That leaves about 70 of us that didn't. So we already know Jesus. So we have to take up the helmet of salvation. See, he's not trying to snatch me from the hands of the Father. He's trying to stop me from my purpose of loving my wife. He's trying to cause a division in my home so that I'm not the husband I should be. Because I'm saved, I'm born again. John 10, 29 says, let's see if I saved that for us. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He's not trying to steal me from the Father. He's trying to stop me from working for the Father. He's trying to stop my God-given purpose. Ephesians 2, 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has something prepared for you to do. But until we take up that helmet of salvation and walk like we're saved, act like we're saved, we're not going to fulfill that purpose. Some of us get so bent out of shape because we're in a head battle, but we're being led by our heart. See, when Jesus was tempted, what did Jesus say? Did he say, well, Satan, I'm just feeling tired. I ain't slept in days. I'm feeling hungry and thirsty because I ain't had nothing. He didn't come against the enemy with his feelings because it's a head battle. He came against the enemy with the truth that he knew in his mind. He didn't come against him with his feelings. The devil has zero compassion. You can come against him with every feeling you got, and he don't care. He's going to take your feelings, twist them in a knot, and use them for his advantage. But when I put on the helmet of salvation, I'm protected, and the truth is guarded in my mind, and I can use every weapon God's given me to come against the enemy with the truth. But I got to take up the helmet. So many of us are led by our feelings. See, the enemy can't snatch me, but he tries to make me ineffective. I love what Romans 8, 38 and 39 says. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm born again, and I know it. September of 2006, signed, sealed, and delivered. But there's so many days that I miss opportunities that God has for me. The other day, I was going to get my daughter donuts at school, for her school. And there was a guy walking down the road. And he had on his work boots because he works down here at the chicken factory. And God spoke to me. Yeah, God speaks, just so you know, I don't say it all the time. He doesn't talk to me every day, every minute. I ain't got no religious nut. I like a little spiritual fruit. But God spoke to me. God ever speak to you? Good, because you're born again, so he better be. Because his sheep know his voice. So you're born again, so you better hear his voice sometimes. And it sounds like me sometimes. So I'm driving down the road, and there's a young man walking down the road. And I was supposed to go hire this young man to work for me. Hey, any man that'll walk back and forth from there to there needs a chance to go here. So I was supposed to go hire this young man, and I didn't. I said, well, let me get my donuts first. Because I didn't have on my helmet of salvation. I was thinking in the flesh for my needs now instead of his needs. See, because God's voice has an eternal perspective. Mine has a temporary donuts. I'll be right back, God. Let me get my donuts. Pulled in the donut store, got my donuts, walked outside and realized what I'd done. I took up my helmet of salvation right there when I walked back out of the store. I put it back on and said, oh, no. First thing I said that day was, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. So I drove up the road, and he was gone and didn't see him. But see, at that moment, I didn't have my helmet of salvation on. I'm born again, but I wasn't walking in the Spirit, because a mind that's governed by the flesh, it's in there somewhere. We'll get there in a minute. The Bible calls the attacks of the enemy imaginations. Imaginations are false. And we got to stand on the truth. We have to take the helmet of salvation. So I tried to redeem myself Friday night at Dairy Queen, by the way. There was another young man that came in there that was walking from the chicken factory. Stopped at Dairy Queen. So I started trying to, because I had my helmet of salvation on. I just got done preaching. Yeah, better have it on. So this young man sat down, and I started trying to talk to him. And I said, where you work at? And he told me. And I said, well, man, I see you're walking. Would you like a ride home? And he said, no, I do this every day. And I said, well, okay. And And I tried to take control, and I kept wanting to say, you want a job? But God, that wasn't the man. How many times in life we try to fix things on our own too? So I tried to flip it around and hire the next guy. I wasn't supposed to. I didn't do it because I had my helmet of salvation on. It could have went the other way, and I could have hired the wrong guy had I not been wearing my helmet of salvation. Taking the wrong guy from a steady job he had and putting him with me, and this might not be the place he's supposed to be. But I had taken up my helmet, and I was wearing it at that moment, so the flesh didn't win. I missed one, and I almost got one I wasn't supposed to get because of the flesh. See, it works both ways when we take up the helmet. It protects us. It leads us with his thoughts. Some of us are stressed to death about the what ifs and the maybes. Most of us are so concerned about what we feel that we have don't pay any attention to what our mind thinks. Anybody else? I was led by my emotions my whole life. I have scars across my wrists from being led by my emotions. I have scars in my heart from being led by my emotions. I have things in my mind that I pray will be removed someday from being led by my emotions. See, have anybody else ever led by their emotions? Yes. What we have to learn to do is stand on the truth. Take up the helmet and guard our mind. My heart leads me astray. In business, I don't make business decisions in an emotional state of mind anymore. I try not to make any decision in an emotional state of mind, but to back it with the truth, the knowledge of God. Try to. Doesn't always happen. See, our identity is found under the helmet of salvation, protected and guarded. So when we take up the helmet of salvation, when I take it up, it tells me who I am in Christ. It lets me know who I am. Not being waved, tossed to and fro anymore. I'm an addict. I'm not an addict. I'm an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a depressed. I'm a divorcee. I'm an adult. No, I'm not. I'm a child of God. And the helmet of salvation confirms and assures and protects that identity and keeps who I am protected. Because the enemy wants to steal that identity because then he steals my purpose. If I forget who I am in Christ, I forget what I'm supposed to do for Christ. So putting on the helmet is knowing who you are in Christ, fortifying our thinking with it, living in a way that lines up with being born again. When we do this, we break the enemy's strongholds. Doesn't it seem like everybody I talk to is saved? Tell me about your salvation experience. Well, I'm Southern Baptist. That happened to me, I told you last week, week before last. I said, brother, come here, man, let me talk to you a minute. And I'm talking to him, and I'm like, yeah. Man, you got on a shirt that says something about, you know, Jesus or whatever. I said, tell me about your salvation experience. Well, I'm Southern Baptist. He doesn't have a helmet of salvation. He has a denominational title. See, but I have a helmet of salvation, do you? Because God's given us supernatural weapons. Take up the helmet. Put it on, wear it. Everywhere you go, learn to wear this. We need to learn to, Colossians 3, 2 and 3. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The helmet of salvation tells me that I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. See, it's all covered right there. But I have to take up the helmet. So in closing today, Romans 12, 2 tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, six of you came forward last week to be born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we're new creations. It says that the old nature is gone, so now we have to allow God to transform and renew our mind. So do you think that I can just come sit in here week after week and listen to pastor's teaching, and that renews my mind? It gives me little nuggets that should give me a desire to dig deeper. We should have a desire when we're born again, truly children of God, for more things of God. But we're saved and we're not going to hell and we're content with that. No. I want to transform and renew my mind so my mind, I have the mind of Christ is what my goal is. To have the mind of Christ. He never sinned, I do daily. He just says that without sin is a liar, and I don't really want to be a liar anymore either. I was a liar most of my life. Had a guy one time too that we were baptizing him. And I said, well, tell us a little bit about it. He goes, well, I'm going to get baptized today so I'll never sin again. Boy, I hope he reads his Bible. I really hope he does. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To transform something means to change its condition, its nature, its function, and its identity. God wants to change more than just our behaviors. He wants to change the way we think. To try to change our behavior without changing our thought process. Anybody garden in here? Joe talked about a garden a while back. We've got some gardeners. So when weeds come up in your garden, if you go out there and just clip the top off, what happens? Comes back every time. When we renew our mind, we pull those out by the root. We pull them out by the root when we get into God's Word. So when we renew our mind, we develop a pattern of good works that has to start with our thought process. It has to. No prayer team today. Today I want you guys as a room full of believers to worship. I want you guys to stand up during this song and I want you to just worship the one true living God. And to say, Lord, I am born again because I needed a Savior and you saved me. And Lord, I want help with my mind. Just you and Him today during this song, talk to Him. I don't care if you've been a Christian a day, an hour, 40 years, there's always room for improvement in our thought process. So what we have to learn to do is take up the helmet of salvation. If you're saved, act like you're saved. Walk in the newness of Christ. So as we worship today, I just want you to worship the God that saved you. Talk to Him. Be free in His presence.